Welcome back to the podcast. Today, Tesla delivers the standard Model Y, also e-bikes, and GM ends bright drop vans. Plus, stay tuned. Later in the show, I'll tell you which automaker just launched their annual Halloween software update. On EV News China, our spin-off show today, we're talking about NEV sales rebounding in China, Xiaomi losing a really interesting court appeal, actually, brought by one of their customers, and BYD's Shark pickup, not the Shark 6, but a different one, heading for Europe. Join me later for a bonus show as we have a look at Tesla's quarterly update. Now, this isn't a finance podcast, but Tesla, what with being a bellwether for the EV industry, in a really interesting place. Deliveries and revenue are up, but had a really negative reaction from experts that aren't me. So I'm going to try and dig into that and fully understand the latest update from Tesla. It'll be live tonight for patrons, and Patreon exclusives go into the free feed 7 days later. So if you don't want to support me on Patreon, you get everything for free in the free feed with some ads. Sorry about that. I've got to earn a living. And also, if you'd like to support me on Patreon, more than welcome to, don't have to. You get all the same content just 7 days later, not the news episodes, of course, they come out at the same time for everybody. Now, Tesla has begun customer deliveries of the Model Y standard. It's rear-wheel drive. Production in the US is at Giga Texas, and Tesla introduced the lower-cost Model Y standard earlier this month, and the Model 3 standard as well. Tesla invited early owners, including content creators, the likes of Tesla Bros on X, who were allowed to film, but actually then couldn't do their handover because of a firmware issue. Tesla is expanding availability of the standards in Europe, being built at Giga Berlin. Not in China yet, because they've got the new Model Y long wheelbase, which is kind of their focus. And I think when Tesla needs a sales boost in China, they've always got that in their back pocket. They could roll out the standards in China. But then you're in a price point where other vehicles that are not only cheaper, but come with all the things that people are expecting. So I'm not sure how a stripped down version works in China, because the expectations are so much higher now. You know, the idea of not having even basic things like, you know, electronic wing mirrors, for instance, for many people, they're kind of a set and forget thing. But on the other hand, these Chinese cars from domestic names are coming with, you know, not just electronic wing mirrors, but LiDAR and advanced ADAS and AI built in. Integration into your Chinese digital life. And so, yeah, it's a really interesting thing to see whether they even take those vehicles to China and whether anybody wants them. Because at the minute, Tesla is a premium brand in China. People look up to it and spend a little bit more money to get those vehicles. Tesla have to be kind of careful that they don't change their brand image by launching very, very basic vehicles. But for now, I think the underlying specs of the standard vehicles, not that I've driven one, you know, if you need reasonable transport, the specs are good. EPA'd at 321 miles on the Model Y, which is, for the Model Y, a big vehicle, very good. Top speed 125 miles an hour. It's, you know, neither here nor there. If I did that on UK roads, I'd lose my license. And 0 to 60 of 7 seconds, like, that's fine, it's usable. Tesla says the vehicle retains its safety and efficiency standards and the latest Hardware 4. Yeah, as Hardware 3 owners are finding out the hard way, those full self-driving features that have been long promised, they're not going to come to Hardware 3, are they? That might be an expensive retrofit or some, I don't know, court cases that Tesla has to fend off. These initial handovers mark the start of customer access to the standard Ys and soon 3s. Now, Rivian have a spin-off business making e-mobility products. And the first one, or first two, actually, I'll talk about the first one. So the business is called Also, which works in print because you can see the word also, and they stylize it in capitals, A-L-S-O. But on a podcast, if I say also, you think I'm joining two sentences together. So I'll try and be very careful how I say it. Also, the company unveiled the TMB. That's their first two-wheeler. They say that this e-bike applies automotive-grade electronics and software to an e-bike, rethinking pedal-to-wheel interaction. And it's actually kind of interesting what they've done here. And so let me explain how the vehicle works. So the mobility startup, which has been spun out of Rivian, say that they've built their own e-bike motors and e-bike batteries and software, which is what Rivian do really well, actually, software. The TMB incorporates features more common to cars than e-bikes. Its core Dream Ride Drive, is what they've called it, removes any direct mechanical link between your pedals and the rear wheel. Now, there is still a belt. I'll tell you about that in a minute. The pedals merely generate electricity. So you turn the pedals to charge the battery, and the propulsion comes from a motor. Now, the motor is down near the pedals, but also compares Dream Ride to an E-Rex or an extended range vehicle, like a BMW i3 Rex, where the engine is just a generator, where your pedals are a generator.
So that's interesting. You can just keep moving your pedals at the efficient cadence for you, and the load is the same, while the motor constantly changes the required wheel torque. Dreamride offers two transmission styles, auto, so you can set and maintain cadence of your pedals, while the motor output and generator input adjust, and manual mode, which uses software to emulate gears to feel like a normal bike. The TMB's final drive is belt driven, using a gate system and 62 tooth rear sprocket. So very interesting, interesting looking vehicle as well. I wouldn't say it's very sleek. That whole battery and drive unit is quite a big chunky thing. I'm sure they'll slim that down with, you know, version 2 and version 3 and whatnot. Also, I did it. Also, joining two sentences together, not the company. This is going to be great for any kind of deliveries, or if you have your kid on the back in a child seat, or I have a little tag-along bike, you know, one with one pedal, one wheel on the back, and then it hooks onto my seat post. I used that for many years when my little boy was sort of three till five. Then he got his own bike and stuff and could keep up with me. And I'll use it for my little girl now. She's 3.5, and when she starts to learn to ride and when I take her to school next year, she'll probably use the tag-along, maybe the trailer for the first year. But either way, I'm a massive e-bike convert. Don't talk about it a lot on the podcast because the podcast is mainly about cars. But e-bikes over here are Pedalex. So we don't have twist grip or throttle grip, throttle acceleration. You can get them from Chinese marketplaces, don't get me wrong, but they're not allowed. So we have to have Pedalex that are limited on speed. And honestly, that's fine because I've got my kids with me. So I'm not caning it across trails and stuff like that. I'm taking them places to the library or swimming pool or the school. And it's so great to get out of the car when the weather allows here. And it's really nice. So 20 miles an hour is perfectly safe with the kids around. Two battery packs, a 538-watt-hour unit that'll do 60 miles of range, and a large pack that holds 808-watt-hours for 100 miles of range. USB-C fast charging up to 240 watts. So you can charge it in a couple of hours, according to Gear Junkie website. I'll pop a link to that website in the show notes so you can read more and have a look at the pictures. Little software display by the handlebars. It looks, you know, very cool, but is also very expensive. $4,500 to get into one before you start to spec that up a little bit. Maybe that price will come down in time. These things usually do. We also heard the news that Amazon, an early backer in Rivian, big supporter, still an investor, Amazon has ordered thousands of the quad version TMQs. So this uses, not bicycle wheels, I would say, slightly larger wheels, but it's still effectively a bicycle. It's got pedals and it's got a steering wheel, or handlebars rather, but it's more enclosed. I mean, there's different versions of it, but the picture they showed at the launch was with an enclosed version and then a large area, large cargo, enclosed cargo area behind. So again, getting around cities on pedal power. It's a four-wheel vehicle, but it's still effectively a pedal assist bicycle. The TMQ can handle 400 pounds of payload of Amazon packages under a multi-year agreement. Also, will customize the vehicles to meet Amazon's delivery requirements in Europe and the United States, reducing vehicles on city streets and things like that. This vehicle looks pretty much the same, apart from everything from behind the rider has a big area to put packages. According to TechCrunch.com, they write, the TMQ and Also's TMB e-bike share much of the same DNA, including the drivetrain, a pedal-by-wire system developed by Also, even some of the physical elements, notably the handlebars and built-in 5-inch circular touchscreen that can be turned to lock and unlock the vehicle, are all the same. That touchscreen unit, which displays navigation, media controls, fitness stats, and assist levels, syncs with the Also app to let users check their battery charge, download software updates, and manage security. Link in the show notes if you'd like to see some pictures of this. Looks very, very cool, by the way. All right, let's move on and talk a little bit about General Motors. Again, not a financial podcast here, but we will look at how they're doing. GM raised its 2025 core profit forecast to $12 to $13 billion from $10 to $12.5 billion. The company narrowed its expected tariff impact to $3.5 to $4.5 billion, and shares rose 6% following the announcement. Earlier this month, GM recorded a $1.6 billion charge tied to changes in its EV strategy. CEO Mary Barra said the company might face additional EV-related charges, while noting that addressing overcapacity will reduce losses for next year. Barra has shifted public guidance away from a pledge to produce only electric vehicles from 2035 onwards, saying future production will allow customer demand to be followed. And management says it's trimming the EV overcapacity and supply chain challenges by evolving the business. Went down really well with investors, and that's a smart idea to respond to the market. One of the unfortunate decisions is General Motors is going to stop building the BrightDrop electric delivery vans at their assembly plant in Ontario and will not move production to another facility. Mary Barra said on October 21st, GM will reevaluate the Cami plant for future opportunities. Mary Barra called the decision difficult because of its effect on employees. About 1,000 people were left after they scaled it down earlier this year, citing slower than expected commercial EV demand and shifting policy incentives as key reasons. The union reported the move will cost 1,000 jobs. Early reporting in March documented a glut of BrightDrop vans piling up in the parking lot outside the factory, hundreds parked on either side of the US-Canada border. GM had moved BrightDrop into its Chevrolet lineup last year to boost sales and compete with Ford and Rivian in the commercial EV space. Industry observers point to policy shifts, notably President Trump's reversal of parts of the Inflation Reduction Act, which Joe Biden had signed into law in 2022 to provide up to $7,500 in federal incentives, including the commercial vehicles tax credit as well, saying those changes have raised the costs and made importing vehicles less attractive. Paul Watty of Auto Pacific called the move a dose of realism, noting BrightDrop's ambitious goals exceeded the current market demand. That's not a great bit of news, unfortunately, for the people making those vehicles, and an odd one as well, because fleets are going EV at a really fast pace because EVs are cheaper to run for fleets, better for the drivers, nicer experiences, anything that stop-start parcel delivery, which is an increasing business anyway. And the BrightDrop vans, whilst not cheap, were very, very capable and competitive, and so very odd. And actually, BrightDrop sales were going up too, so very odd for GM to shutter the BrightDrop program. The vehicles were great, and there's no doubt there's more of these type of vehicles needed over the next few years as more fleets want to go electric. So a disappointing decision, one that I don't fully understand because BrightDrop was doing better, but there we go. Now, again, Porsche is a curious, curious beast. Porsche are making some incredible EVs at the moment, and yet the last few months, to ease investor worries, have been talking about their move away from EV, how Porsche is going back to combustion, and the idea of Porsche going EV was too premature and investing in more combustion. And yet the EVs they're putting out, in contrast to that, are some of the best out there. Take this one, Porsche, adding to its Macan lineup. And if you're familiar with how they do their Turbo, Turbo S, GTS trims, it'll make perfect sense to you. Porsche is adding the GTS trim to the Macan, positioning it alongside the Macan Turbo Electric as the crossovers to sport-focused variants, signaling performance focus. Porsche rates the Macan GTS at 509 horsepower with an overboost to 506 horsepower. Both GTS and Turbo Electric use the same 100 kilowatt hour battery, dual permanent synchronous motors, and a single-speed transmission. Porsche claims 60 miles an hour in 3.6 seconds, top speed limited 155. The Sport Chrono is standard and includes the track endurance mode that conditions the battery before and after track use. Standard chassis hardware includes active air suspension, tuned by Porsche's team, a lower ride height, a firmer sway bar calibration, and optional rear axle steering. Dual motors enable active torque vectoring, aided by a new limited slip rear diff, and Porsche reports an almost even 48-52 rear weight distribution. The cars look incredible, like this one. And yet Porsche, at the same time, are saying, well, we're not forgetting about combustion. That was all too early. Let's go back to more of that. So, really confusing. Porsche has so many issues to work out, not just the public messaging, but, well, a lot. So does VW Group. Wow, what a big task they have. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about diesel share falling, bidirectional charging from Eaton, and France and Spain committing to 2035. Stick around. Back in a mo. Right, welcome back to the podcast. Let's whip through the second half of the news for you today. And let's talk a little bit about used EV leasing surging in the UK. The BVRLA, that's the industry organisation, data showing salary sacrifice, which is a way of getting a vehicle through your employer with tax benefits, leases of used EVs has risen by, 7,000%, but it was from a very low number. Year on year, it's 4,000 used EVs went through SalSac in the 3 months to June 2025, while business contract hire of used EVs climbing as well. Overall, used car contracts have been expanding, and leasing firms are increasingly releasing ex-fleet vehicles. That trend increases across the EV market through business contract hire and salary sacrifice at the moment. You know, if a car is new to you, as I always buy used cars that are new to me, and it's nice to have a new thing to play with, but you don't have any of that initial new depreciation, could be a way for fleet companies to try and mitigate some of the depreciation we've seen over the last 3 years on EVs. Diesel share of new car sales in Western Europe have gone below 10% last month in September, provisionally 9%, we think. That's a steady downward trajectory. The milestone aligns with the broader market shift to electric. September registrations were skewed towards the UK because of our new number plate kind of timing, amplifying the UK's influence on the regional diesel share. The UK's diesel share is now sub 5%. At the monthly level, year-on-year declines have been down about 4 percentage points every month. Year-to-date, the diesel market has contracted by 250,000 units. Q1 to Q3 this year, first 9 months of the year, diesel sales down to, about a million units. Germany contributing to the big decline, and other countries as well that were once huge diesel fans. Spain, France also in decline. The sub 10% result highlights the ongoing reallocation of new car demand and how what was once seen as a low CO2 future for the automobile industry, diesel is becoming very much a footnote. Fascinating to see. Eaton has added two new chargers for Europe, the DC30 and the Duo, both manageable via charge point after the company's partnership back in May. These are vehicle to grid, or vehicle to X, really. In Canada, US and Europe, the DC30 is a 30 kilowatt fast charger, compliant with all the European rules, supporting public payments and things like that. But it's also bi-directional that Eaton says ensures that it's completely future-proof for a future where energy comes out of our cars as well as goes into them. The Duo is a wall box that charges two vehicles simultaneously from one unit, and again is V2G capable, integrating with charge points management hardware and software, rather. France and Spain are reaffirming support for the 2035 zero emission target for new cars and rejected calls from Germany, Italy and others like the vehicle manufacturers themselves to dilute the phase out of combustion by 2035 in Europe. France and Spain say Europe's automotive future is electric. In a joint letter disclosed by French media and presented to ministers in Luxembourg, they warned the forthcoming CO2 review must not listen to the car industry. You must not weaken the 2035 goal, which has now, it's been in stone for a long time, calling it a reference point for Europe's industrial transition, and that they hope that the upcoming review preserves the 2035 ban on pure combustion. Paris and Madrid argue that a predictable regulatory path is what's needed for investments into battery manufacturing and vehicle electrification, noting billions of euros have been committed since 2035 was put in stone, and that we shouldn't water those down, despite the car industry very much wanting to sell you many more engines. It's good for them. Now, Harbinger has launched its medium-duty battery electric trucks in Canada and is now taking orders. They're medium-duty step vans for cold weather. Testing all complete now, and the company targets fleet operators in urban and regional routes. The industry reception, according to the CEO, has been really good. They offer a hybrid version and a pure BEV version. Canada requires at least 35% of medium and heavy-duty vehicle sales to be zero emission by 2030, rising to 100% by 2040. Quebec's been leading adoption since 2022 of new commercial vehicles going electric. Now, Politico's E&E News reporting that the $718 million awarded by the previous administration in grants to five firms, including a $316 million grant to Ascend Elements to produce components from recycled EV batteries in Kentucky, the Department of Energy in the US has now cancelled those grants. Recipients were Ascend, American Battery Technology, ICL, and a glassmaker as well, or and Anovian, whatever they do. But the DOE said these projects don't adequately advance the nation's energy needs and were cancelling the grants. The report contrasts the move with the earlier administration actions that have discontinued funding for 223 clean energy projects, those ones all in states that were won by Harris in last year's election. Democrats have accused the department of taking illegal action and damaging the US economy. Prague will prohibit shared electric scooters citywide. That starts in January after city councillors approved a measure revising rules for shared transport. So these things like e-scooters and stuff, there's these schemes that have been cropping up. Some of them are in docks. Some of them you just sort of leave them on the side of the road. You unlock them with an app on your phone. And then you use an e-scooter. We have them around here. The update also establishes where both pedal and electric bicycles must be parked. But shared e-scooters have been omitted, effectively ending the public access, which has been a trial in Prague. E-scooters have been barred from many busy sections of the city centre after safety concerns, and other European areas have tightened rules as well. Paris and Madrid banning them entirely. Lime, which operated e-scooters and e-bikes in Prague for years, have been disputing claims that e-scooters are dangerous. And finally, Rivian released their software update with this year's Halloween-themed features for the R1S and R1T. The Gen 2 vehicles get the majority of the upgrades. Gen 2 owners can get new four exterior sound and light effects that appear on the front and rear of the vehicles. Rivian calls the options Swamp Gas, Player Piano, Bayou Blast, and Scary Spirit. The effects can be activated manually. Rivian's descriptions of Swamp Gas. So it plays a alligator roar, followed by a swamp sound. Player Piano is a haunting old-time melody. Bayou Blast is a mysterious and energetic burst of sound and light. And Scary Spirit makes demonic eyes across the front light bar. The update also adds swamp-themed all-purpose driving mode for the Gen 1 vehicles as well. And so those owners are not completely left out of this cool little software update coming to Rivians. I love that they make the time to do stuff like this because, yeah, it's fun, and why not? And that's your podcast for today. Thanks to our premium partners, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, National Car Charging on the US mainland, and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, and Octopus Electroverse, global public charging made simple with one app and one map. Have a good and see you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.